Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Yet again, it is not a bad week to be a Blade. The boy Billy at the double, 2-2 for Captain Fantastic, super sharp. The first seeing off Reading in the FA Cup, the second nailing Norwich. And did he let them know about it? It is the Sheffield United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Hello, James.
There, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Great having you with us on this fine Sunday evening. We're also joined by the Travelling Blade. Hello, Travelling.
Hi, mate, you all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Great to have you with us, as always,
cheers,
gents. Not a bad 7 days yet again, James. They have gone and won two on the bounce, and Billy Sharp has scored in both of them. Winners in both. He's coming good.
Yep, he certainly is, and I'm actually sort of personally delighted for him because, you know, as much as the focus has been on Chris Wilder and his, obviously, connections with Sheffield United Football Club, you know, Billy Sharp has got those as well. He's a lifelong fan. He's been a huge figure in the dressing room, and he's had to wait and really bide his chance. But, you know, I don't like to tell people I told them so because I think most people knew it anyway, despite all the new talent that's come into the football club. I've always maintained that Billy Sharp is still the best finisher at Bramall Lane. If a chance falls to any player in that squad, you'd want it to fall at Billy's feet, or indeed his head, as he's shown in the last couple of games, and he's proved that with two goals in two. That's now three, I believe, in his last four. And we've got the situation now. It would almost be a footballing fairy tale, wouldn't it? Where a lifelong Sheffield United fan is now spearheading their charge for European football on two fronts.
It is quite incredible, isn't it? Five goals, directly involved in five goals in his last six appearances travelling. When you consider his start to the season, I know he scored on the opening day of the campaign. I spoke about this yesterday on the station and suggested that maybe, just maybe, this has been a masterstroke from Chris Wilder to almost have Billy Sharp as this caged beast. He's been desperate to get his break in the Premier League, and he's used him sparingly, if ever, really, in the opening half of the campaign. He's brought him in now for the second half, and he's really paying dividends.
I remember when you said about the caged beast, it reminds me, I remember seeing the post-match interview from the very first game away at Bournemouth when Chris Wilder was talking about, I think Chris, he brought Sharp on in the 85th minute in that game, so even he had a massive impact. He was brought on very late. And I remember Wilder said when he sent Sharp up to warm up for that game on the touchline, he said, "Oh, you know, I could see there was a bit of an edge to him. You know, he wasn't best pleased that I hadn't started him, and I could see that he was like going to, you know, he was taking his tracksuit off, ready to come on. He was like, 'Oh, I'm going to show you for not starting me.' So I think even back then he had that like that cage beast mentality, as you say, about him. But I think I have to echo with James in terms of finishing. One of the best, if not the best, strikers this club's ever seen. I also think with Billy Sharp, his eye for goal and his positioning is incredible. He's not the tallest, he's not the fastest. He may not be the most technically gifted with his feet, although he did show a good bit of that on Saturday. But in terms of his positioning, as has been shown with his last two goals, he's second to none for me. Absolutely incredible. And it's why he's the highest English goal scorer of the century. And I mean, I always think that even if he doesn't score, Billy Sharp always brings so much more. Whenever he's playing or whenever he's brought on as a substitute, the whole team, even if Sharp's not on the ball or not even anywhere near the ball at the time, the whole team seems to play better. Absolute leader of men. And he's priceless to the club as a captain with his experiences both on and off the pitch. And when the ball falls to him, just know where it's going to end up. Billy Sharp scores goals, so it's absolutely priceless. And for the fans as well, knowing that we've got We've got Chris Wilde on the sideline, a fellow Blade, and then we've got one on the pitch that knows what we want because he's one of us. You can't put a price on that.
Absolutely not travelling. James, I want to quickly touch as well on the noble diving header that he scored, because that's something of a rarity these days in football, I think. You tend not to see that too much. And we actually saw it on three occasions this weekend. I mean, Matt Smith of Millwall actually bagged a diving header. That was good to see. But a great finish from Billy Sharp. And was there anything in the celebration? I know that he spoke after the game and said, listen, I was getting a bit of a stick from the Norwich fans, so I thought I'd give it back to them. And actually, that leads me on to my next point as well, is that he's relatable, isn't he, Billy Sharp? I'm not going to use the term lad, because I suppose that's a bit archaic. He's not really a lad, but he's a lad. I've just said it. He's a bloke that many football fans and men really can identify with. Many football fans that follow the game, that speak the same language as Billy Sharp, kind of go, do you know what? Yeah, I'm a bit like him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I think sort of runs pretty much sort of, you know, the whole way through Sheffield United's squad, which is, why dare I say it, probably other than on the other side of Sheffield itself, they're probably winning quite a few fans actually in the Premier League this season, because they are by and large, listen, I don't think you can describe anyone who earns what a Premier League footballer does as ordinary blokes. I think they do probably live on a different planet to most of us. But you get my drift, and I totally sort of take and accept the point that you've made there. They are, I think, as down-to-earth as you can be for a Premier League footballer. In terms of that celebration, I thought it was fascinating, because what it did was it just gave you a little insight, actually, into Billy's character. I don't know if the listeners are aware that, obviously, you will be, Matt, but, you know, the written press and the broadcasting media and the radio, we all do separate interviews after a game, and I think sometimes, you know, we probably pose the same questions. Sometimes the answers that the players and the managers give are probably developed as they go along. And Billy made the point to us in the written press after the game. He said that celebration actually said, you know what, going back to last season when both Sheffield United and Norwich were promoted from the Championship, Norwich obviously went up as title winners, and he said, I've still not forgiven them for pipping us to the Championship title. So it goes to show, you know, the fact that Sheffield United still went up, but Billy Sharp has still, and let's put this in, I'll put this word in inverted commas, lad's terms, has still got the hump about not winning that division, I think just goes to show a little bit of sort of the drive that he's got. And being the captain, being sort of the big, you know, Chris Wilder's big lieutenant, the lieutenant in the dressing room, it goes to show some of the messages that he's been relaying. Just as well, quickly, just to pick up on a point that Travelling Blade made, and I thought it was pretty insightful, because Billy is not enjoyed watching Sheffield United play from the bench. You know, I think that's pretty clear. What footballer, especially one in his position, would? You know, they all want to be out there playing. But I think the way that his game has developed, actually, over the past year and a bit, goes to show that when he has been on the bench, he's actually probably used his time wisely. He's actually been studying what he's doing rather than just kicking his heels and griping behind a manager's back and twiddling his thumbs and doing everything other than watching the game, which I think some people in football are possibly guilty of. But he's actually been studying what's going on, and he's tailored and he's tweaked his game a little bit as some of the qualities he probably had as a younger man sort of diminish. What he's done is he's made sure, as when those qualities diminish, he's never been the quickest, but he's certainly not as quick as he was, he's made sure he's added other things to his skill set. And the thing for me that has really come on leaps and bounds, and you know what, I think even this season, is his link-up play as well. And I think that's absolutely, you know, so, so crucial for Sheffield United, because they're not the most free-scoring team in the division. They can't afford what I think most listeners would regard as a sort of a household name, proven Premier League striker at the moment, either in terms of a transfer fee or wages. So, you know, when the players are out there, even the centre-forwards have got to affect the game in other ways other than just scoring goals, and that's something that Billy's been doing tremendously well since he came back in at the starting 11.
Yeah, he has certainly made quite the impact since coming back in, like you say, to the side. And great story that about being annoyed about not winning the title against Sheffield United, against Norwich. Sorry, I love the fact that that has still stuck with him. As I said, certainly relatable. Another player that appeared for the press afterwards that we don't often see is Dean Henderson. Now, 10 clean sheets for him in 27 Premier League games. He made a quite phenomenal succession of saves towards the end of the game. I'm going to get your thoughts on that. As always, James, we always seem to talk about Dino, but first, here is what Chris Wilder had to say on his goalkeeper after the game.
That's what he's there for. Make a couple of saves. How's he got man of the match, by the way? He's only made a couple of saves. He hasn't had to run around for 90 minutes. Just stands in the goal and ball comes to him, does what he has to do.
That was Chris Wilder there, James, after the game. No doubt he might have said something similar to you as well. Now, I know this is partly in jest, and after those quotes, he did say, yeah, listen, he's done what he needs to do for the team. But I thought that was brilliant because I had this argument earlier that if a striker scores a great goal, managers don't go, well, that's what he's there for. He's there to ping one in from 30 yards into the top corner.
Thanks for downloading.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? Sometimes I think goalkeepers, they do get the rough end of the deal, don't they? Because, as you say, they're judged sometimes by a different set of rules to centre-forwards and midfielders and defenders. But I think what Chris Wilder was doing there was really, he's just showing his management skills, because I think, as your listeners will be aware, and everybody who follows Sheffield United, either as a fan or as a journalist, will be aware, the one thing Dean Henderson isn't sure of is self-belief. He's quite happy to come out and say, I think I'm England's number one goalkeeper now. I think I should be playing for my parent club, Manchester United, now. And, you know, I think I'm one of the best English goalkeeper in the Premier League right now. So I think it's actually good management from Chris, because, you know, he doesn't need too much praise, doesn't Dean. You know, and I think it just sort of keeps him grounded. And, you know, Chris will praise him, and he did say after the game that, you know, he'd be absolutely stunned if he didn't get a chance for England in one of the forthcoming friendlies against either Italy or Denmark that are coming up later this month. But I think at the same time, although he really likes Dean Henderson's edge and sort of that self-belief and that sort of, you know, slightly sort of spiky side he's got to his demeanour at times, he's very different off the pitch, interestingly enough. There's a touch of the old Mark Hughes about him a little bit, I think. But, you know, it just keeps his feet on the ground, just keeps him grounded, and I think stops that spotlight sort of really building up to almost intolerable levels around him. I think what it does is it just sort of allows his football really to speak for itself.
I think it's clever as well, isn't it? Because, you know, we've spoken about it, like I said, many times on the show before. He very much wants Dean Henderson to be a Sheffield United player next season, if not the season after, as a permanent Sheffield United number one. So maybe he's also trying to detract major media attention on him there, saying, listen, he's not actually that good. You know, Man United probably won't want him. We want to keep him here.
He'll be telling him to drop a couple in, won't he, actually, if it gets to the point where Sheffield United can't win anything, which obviously we all hope that's not going to be the case. He'll probably be telling him to drop a couple of balls in the back of the net to bring his price tag down a little bit. But, yeah, it's, you know, I think what you've seen as well in recent weeks, and I've touched on this before on the programme, although Chris says, listen, he's Manchester United's player, you know, I'm convinced at some stage in the future he will go on to become Manchester United's number one. I would be stunned if they're not sort of working behind the scenes to try and sort of figure out, A, what Manchester United might want for him, if there is a chance that they would let him go out on a permanent, and sort of trying to cobble the money together to actually be able to put a bid in. But it's fascinating as well. Over the last couple of weeks, as sort of Dean's stock has risen, I think what you've also seen with Chris, when he's talked about not only what Dean Henderson has brought to Sheffield United, but he's also talked very, very openly and very explicitly about what Sheffield United have given Dean Henderson. And I think that's crucial, because what you're seeing going on there, I believe, is almost Chris speaking through the media, using the media as a conduit to speak to Manchester United, where, of course, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has said that David De Gea is the world's number one goalkeeper, so he clearly thinks he's better than Dean Henderson at the moment. What you're doing there is, I think you can see Chris Wilder making a play to Old Trafford, saying, do you know what? That might well be the case. I'm not so sure I believe with you, but if you think that, Dean Henderson is best served in terms of his career development by staying at Bramall Lane. I think he's actually been quite cute with some of the things he's saying.
Yeah, he certainly is. No doubt this won't be the last time that we speak about Dean Henderson on this show, James. That was James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. And this is the Sheffield United Fan Show. We're reflecting on the game against Norwich yesterday. A big win for Sheffield United that keeps them well in contention for the top five, the top four even, of course. Just 5 points adrift of Chelsea now in fourth spot. United leapfrogging them today as well after that victory today over Manchester City. Next, we'll be looking ahead to the game with Newcastle at St James's Park. Love Sport. It's the Sheffield United Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Travelling Blade is on the line as well. Travelling, I just want to come to you very quickly to reflect on that big FA Cup win in the week against Reading at the Medeski. And we've just spoken about Billy Sharp for a long time in the first half of the show. We've got to mention David McGoldrick. His 21st game, his 37th shot, and he finally got off the mark. You love to see it.
He finally found where the net was. Hopefully that'll provide him a bit of a springboard going forward in the league. I remember, I think he'd been out with a foot injury for a few games before that. And I think in the league game before, which I believe was at home to Brighton, he came on as a substitute and he looked really lively. And I think, as much as we've been praising Billy Sharp, I think we've missed McGoldrick in a sense, just his link-up play and his footwork on the ball. And he's not been finding the net well at all until the FA Cup game this season. But what he brings to the side, and even Billy Sharp, I believe, tweeted about this the other day as well, saying he brings so much to the side in his link-up play. It's great to have him back. I think the most amazing thing for me is how United fans haven't got on his back yet, despite the fact that he's scored no goals in the Premier League this season. We're often quite an impatient bunch of fans that will soon get on your back if you don't deliver. But I think everyone recognises how good he's been, despite his lack of goals, and how much he's brought to the side in terms of assists, second assists, and just how he sort of acts as an anchor up top who just collates everything that we do, brings it all together, and just brings a sense of cohesion to our attack. And he's another one. I sort of like what he does in there is sort of priceless in a way. The fact that, well, quite literally, we got him for free from after being released from Ipswich. I think he said himself, if Sheffield United hadn't come asking, he'd have been down the job centre. It's great to have him back. Great to see him score again as well. So hopefully, he's found where the net is now. Let's see if he can bag a couple before the end of the season.
Yep, certainly would be nice to see. And James, just feeding off what Travelling Blade said there about the fact that the fans haven't been getting on David McGoldrick's back. I mean, that's part of it, right? Because he's not a player that has appeared to be lazy, that hasn't been fighting for the cause. And if I can think of two names this season where strikers have been getting on, fans have been getting on strikers' back, Joel Linton being one of those, Sebastian Allaire potentially being one of those too. They've scored goals. Not many. Joel Linton's just got one in the league this season. But McGoldrick, you can tell he's been fighting for that cause. So there hasn't really been any reason for fans to get on his back, especially as A, the team have been doing well, and B, other players have been scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? I mean, it goes into what I was saying earlier about you having to do more now as a striker than just score goals. But, you know, I often read and hear sort of people, especially in sort of our profession, you know, saying fans are difficult to please. I think it's absolute rubbish. I don't agree with that at all. I think football fans, by and large, are pretty easy to please, and you can please them by giving all for the shirt, putting a shift in, and really sort of showing a great deal of effort. I think football fans up and down the country and across the world can forgive an awful lot if you do that. But, you know, I think the other reason as well why nobody's got on David McGoldrick's back, and it's a reason why I actually love watching him as well, is because he's a great footballer. You know, he's a joy to watch, because that's what he does. He sort of seems to play with a joy. He's not someone who sort of seems to be bogged down by sort of tactics and constrained by systems and things like that. What David McGoldrick's all about is thinking, touch and skill, which is pretty much all the things that I think most of us sort of love and watch football for. So you're right, there's been absolutely no reason to get on his back whatsoever, because he brings so much to the team. He's a really, really beautiful player, and I'm absolutely stunned, you know, that even despite the fact he's never been the most prolific, but, you know, he's not had a chance at Premier League level up until now, because when you look at the ability that guy's got, you know, that's that is a pretty damning indictment, I think, on some of the scouting systems up and down the country.
It just goes to show, doesn't it? Sometimes there are players right under your noses, but club directors and heads of recruitment and managers seem to want to go to far-flung areas of the earth and sign unknown entities for £40 million because they seem to think that the lure of being a foreign footballer is far more attractive than actually just signing a David McGoldrick on a free transfer from Ipswich. It never ceases to amaze me, James. Travelling, I just want to come to the week for you, of course. We mentioned the game against Norwich. That's the first time the Blades have done the double over the Canaries since 1939 through to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup as well, beating Reading away from home, and next up a quarterfinal tie with Arsenal, of course evoking memories of that game all the way back when David Seaman made that great save from Paul Pesky Salido. This is a massive game, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely massive. A chance to get to the FA Cup semi-final, a chance to play at Wembley, which is probably a bad thing for Sheffield United given our record there. I think I was saying on a station the other day how I think I'd love for us to win this FA Cup. Obviously, you want to win the FA Cup, but I think we talk about how great the Sheffield United side is now, and Blades that are much longer in the tooth saying how it's the best team we've ever had, even better than the side that had Tony Curry and Alan Woodward in it. But I think if we could look back in the year to come and say, oh, this is that great Chris Wilder side, and they won the FA Cup in that year, if we can put something physical to it, like a trophy, then FA Cup this season, it would be monumental. It also helped with the European push as well. And I think we can do it against Arsenal. We've taken 4 points off them this season. We beat them at Bramall Lane before. We've pretty much cut with comfort. Different manager this time round. But I still think we can do the business. We'll play our strongest side. And Wilder definitely wants to try and do as well as we can. I'd love to see, like I said, with Sheffield United, have got a very bad record at Wembley. But we've never been there with Chris Wilder. So I'd love to see a Sheffield United side under Chris Wilder try and break that voodoo at Wembley. And I say, if we could just put a massive trophy to this excellent Chris Wilder side, it just means that when we look back in years to come, it will be all the more merrier when we reminisce about it.
Yep, it certainly would be. That was Travelling Blade there. James, just to finish, I want to touch on Ben Osborne. Of course, coming in from Nottingham Forest in the summer, he's played a bit part really this season, played the full game at Reading, came off the bench as well on Saturday against Norwich. He's had to wait for his chance, hasn't he? You think that, just like Billy Sharp, Chris Wilder's going to start using Ben Osborne towards the end of the season?
I think, a lot of that is going to depend on how sort of fit Ender Stevens is. He obviously came off again yesterday. And Chris was speaking about the fact he took him off as a precaution. Sort of, we'll have to wait and see how serious that sort of calf injury is and whether or not he's had a reoccurrence of the one that he suffered against Brighton a couple of weeks back. But, yeah, I've been writing an awful lot about Ben this week, and that's never a bad sign, is it, unless a player's done something terribly wrong off the pitch. So he's had lots of column inches, and it just goes to show when managers talk about, you know, it's all about the group, and often it's the players who aren't in the starting 11 who decide where a team is going to finish in the table or what it's going to do in one of the cups. Just goes to show that they're not always sort of talking in just sort of cliched, hackneyed terms and trying to make the players who aren't in the starting 11 feel better about themselves, because it is players like Ben Osborne who have had to bide their time, who have made sure that the standards have remained really high at that football club when one of the regular starters has dropped out the side. And once again, you know, I think he's going to be a really, really good player for the future for Sheffield United, because, you know, he's done so well in recent weeks, in what have been sort of quite highly pressurised situations. But I think over the long term, as long as he continues to keep his head down and continues to sort of progress his skill set, he will get opportunities, because he was signed basically as a midfielder. He's now obviously getting a chance at wing-back, so he can play a number of roles, and he's performed both of those sort of roles well when he has had an opportunity. I think he will continue to get chances at Bramall Lane. And once again, you know, I'm sounding a bit of an old softy here, aren't I? I'm really pleased for him, because he's a nice lad as well off the pitch.
Nothing wrong with that at all, James. We all like a nice softy every so often here on the Sheffield United Fan Show. That was James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Another good week in the life of the Blades. Sheffield United progressing through to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. They play Arsenal in a couple of weeks' time at Bramall Lane. That one is a massive game, like I said, evoking memories of that game all the way back when at Old Trafford when David Seaman made a fantastic save. Also evoking memories of the time that Steve Bruce dragged his players off because Nwankwo Kanu chased a ball that he shouldn't have chased. And Mark Overmars also tapped into an empty net that he shouldn't have done. Anyway, that is long gone. And the game was replayed, of course, wasn't it? Sheffield United do face Newcastle next in the Premier League, of course, suffering a 2-0, a rare 2-0 home defeat this season to Newcastle, marred by VAR controversy in that one. That is next week. We'll give you all the reaction to that on the Sheffield United Fan Show, Sunday evening, 9 p.m. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.